You can take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. As I mentioned, we're going to be starting a new series here today, and the series has to do with the mission that God has called us to. And I'm going to let this little box represent our objective. What are we as believers in this world called to do? And I truly believe that the decision you make about this literally will change your life. One way or the other, it will change your life. And you can't, there's a lot of responses that we as believers have to the mission that God has called us to. We may just want to ignore it, and this is a little heavy, but you could kick it to the other side of the stage and just say, I really know that God has a mission for me, but I just soon live my life the way I choose to live it. Even as a Christian, you can do that. Not rightly, but you can do that and just kind of ignore the mission. Or you can once in a while play with the mission, you know, even get close to it once in a while, maybe even commit a little bit to it, but then all of a sudden you're just back to your normal everyday life and you know it's there, but it's really not a part of your life. Or you can be sold out to it. The worship team saw me put this up here on Friday. They said they were going to change it to a box so that when I did this, they would fall through. You can totally commit to the. I sort of like it up here. You can totally commit to the mission. And I believe if you do that, it will totally change your life. You know, we'll say psychologists because I can't say the other word. They like to tell us that all of us have need meaning in our life. I believe the reason that is true is because God created us that way. He created us to realize that we wanted to have purpose. We want our life to be bigger than just going to work, getting a paycheck, coming home, repeating it 5 days a week, so that at the end of the year we can retire, at the end of our lifetime we can retire, and that's all we've done. We instinctively, I think, because God created us that way, want our lives to count for something. Even people who don't know Christ have that as part of their lives. You know, they make all kinds of money, and then at the end of their life, they want to have a legacy, they call it, but they want a legacy that lives beyond them. They want to know that there's a purpose in their life. Stanford University did a study. They were trying to decide if people truly desired happiness or meaningfulness in their life. And so they spent thousands of dollars to try to figure that out. And they come to the conclusion that they really, people want both. But ultimately, if they had to choose one or the other, they would choose meaning in life, having a purpose. That's why some people will do a job that they don't even like necessarily, if they know it's going to accomplish something in the end that's meaningful. We live our lives that way. In the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about what I think will change your life if you commit to it. If you fully commit to it, if you put your whole heart and soul into it, in fulfilling the mission that God has called you to. We're going to see today, specifically in the life of Matthew, Matthew is confronted with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he is called to make a commitment to leave his life of tax collecting and to begin the mission that God had called him to. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, it says this: as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Tax collectors, as was mentioned in the piece that Dave wrote there, not the high-class citizen of that day. They were the sellouts. They were the ones that despised their own nationality and sold themselves out to the enemy, Rome, and would gather taxes from their own people to give to Rome. And typically, they were cheaters. They would take more than what they needed or more than what was required. They would put that part in their pockets and then pay Rome the remainder of it. And so they were not looked up to in the society in which they lived. People hated them. And this was the person that Jesus chose. So, and I want to talk about mission today. I want to just point out a couple things from this short little passage, just a few verses here in chapter 9. And one of the first things I want you to realize is that mission is inclusive, meaning that God has called all believers to a specific mission that he desires for us to choose. Matthew, if you were in a crowd, would have been the last one that would have been chosen by Christ. If you remember in the school days when you went out on the recess and you were playing kickball or whatever, and they would get the two best players up and then they would choose teams, and the last person chose would have been Matthew every single time. He was worse than sinners. There were sinners, and then there were tax collectors. And they didn't want anything really to do with Matthew. He was the last one that anyone would have chose, and yet God chose him to follow him. Which is a reminder to me that it doesn't matter who you are, God has a ministry for you. He has a mission for you. So this is an all-inclusive mission. You may think that you're not qualified for it. You may think that you would be the last person Jesus would pick, and I'm telling you, you would be the first one then. If that is true, if you were the last one, he becomes the first that he would pick. A man by the name of J.D. Greer says this in his book, Gaining by Losing. He says, there is widespread myth in the church that the calling into ministry is a secondary experience that happens to only a few Christians. I remember years ago, it's amazing I can still remember, but shortly after I had come here, they had an ordination service for me. And they had, I think we had 15 or so pastors from all over. They came, and then they questioned you as to your theology and so forth. And you got to remember, this is years ago. And so that's a fear and trembling. But I remember one of the questions. And the question was, why do you feel called to ministry? And then the guy that asked this backed it up. What if we don't feel you're called and we don't ordain you? What would be your response to that? That was an interesting question. And basically what I told him is I believe that we're all called to ministry. And so whether you recognize it or not, God already has called me. And do I need your approval to continue doing what God has called me to? I would appreciate your approval, but I really don't need it. Which was a young, sarcastic answer, right? But it was the truth. I meant it from all my heart. I didn't care if they ordained me or didn't. I wasn't going to quit doing what I was doing. And that's the problem that he's saying here. He says there's this idea in the church that there are some called to ministry, and then there's the rest of you. There's the lay people. I jokingly say, I'm paid to be good. You're good for nothing. That's a similar thing. And even though that might be true, that's not the truth that the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches all of us are ministers of the gospel. It's not one person in our church or two people or whatever. It's all of us. And that's his point here. He says there's a problem in the church that the calling is a secondary experience. Second sentence he has here. He goes, their job is to do the ministry, and everyone else's job is to just show up and foot the bill. Few lies cripple the mission more than that one. Each believer is called to leverage his or her life for the spread of the gospel. The question is no longer whether we are called, only where and how. So his point is the same as what we see Jesus doing when he looks at the least likely one to call, and he says, follow me. When God calls us, and it's an all-inclusive calling. Go into all the world and preach the gospel was not given just to his disciples, was not given just to ministers. You say, in your church, you know, I've noticed that sometimes you're not the one that baptizes everyone. Sometimes other people baptize people in your church. Why do you do that? Because that's not my calling, go into all the world. That's our calling to go into all the world. and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And if I'm the only one doing it, it gives this message that there's only certain ones that are called. My wife doesn't like me to say this, but that's baloney. No, it's there was another one you didn't like me to say. It wasn't baloney. It was hogwash. I think it was hogwash. But it is. No matter what you look at it, that is not from the Bible. He looked at the least likely one to call, and he says, I got a mission for you. I want you to come and follow me. So in practical life, then what does that mean? That means that my ministry might be here at the church, but your ministry, wherever God has called you, might be in the business world. When you go to work tomorrow, you go on mission. You're not going just to make money, to get a check, so that you're entire at the year, in the end of the year. God puts you there for a reason. And while you're there, guess what? You should live your life on mission. Say, well, I don't have a job. I'm a stay-at-home mom. You're a stay-at-home mom with a mission. God has put you there for a reason. You have a ministry to do that he wants you to fulfill there. Well, I'm in the military or I'm in school. I don't care where. You should live your life on mission wherever God has placed you. Do you know the word vocation is a Latin word? It comes from the Latin word voca, which means to call. What's your vocation? What's your calling? What is it that God has called you to fulfill your mission? What is it that God wants you to accomplish in your life? Every day we go through this routine in our life. We get up, alarm clock goes off, you get up, you get ready for the day, take a shower, whatever you do, you get ready for the day, you go to work, you come home, you do whatever you do at home, and then guess what? The alarm rings the next morning, and you do the same routine. And some people have looked at it kind of like this. They live their life like this, and this is a cartoon. It's a Penezzle? I don't know what it is, cartoon. But anyway, it's a kid sitting in school Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and finally on Thursday, he says, you never get the feeling you've done. Have you ever gotten? No, it says you ever. Yeah, okay. I got it not right now. Just wait for me. You ever get the feeling you've done this all before? How many people live their life exactly like that? Day after day after day. Or do you go to work on Monday and say, God, what is your mission for me today? What is it that you want me to do? This is how I think we should live our life. I date myself here. Oh, there should be music with this right now. There we go. Okay, enough of that. I have to play at least once the Mission Impossible theme for this series. But you know, wouldn't it be nice if every morning we get up, and there, if you remember that show, I don't remember his name, but he goes and he finds this hidden recorder somewhere. I think he's CIA or something. And he is undercover, but he gets this mission. And this is back in the days before you kids won't even know what these are called, tape recorders, and there's actually spools of tape that go through them. That was our high tech back then. And so he hears Mr. Phelps, that's right, Mr. Phelps. And then he hears the mission, and it's probably to go and get whatever secret from somebody else or whatever. And then he says, if you should decide to accept this mission, we basically will disavow you if you're ever caught. We didn't know who you were, and we didn't tell you to do it. And then it says, this message is going to self-destruct in 10 seconds. And then that's what happens. The machine, after it ends, the tape goes, and then it goes and starts melting. Wouldn't it be great? This has a point. Wouldn't it be great if in the morning when you wake up, and before you take your shower or anything else, God put a tape recorder next to your bedstand. And it says, Mr. Collins, your mission today, if you should decide to accept it, is that you're going to run across so-and-so. And so-and-so is having this difficulty or this problem. And I just want you to know that I want you to say this to them or accomplish this today. Wouldn't that be great if we knew exactly what God wants for us each day? And then it's just a matter of saying, if I should decide to accept it, I accept it. Or I don't accept it, whatever. But then we go out and do it. Do you know, he's already given you that mission. It's recorded in this book that you're to go and you're to proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, it may vary each day, but I believe that if we're looking for it, if we're open to it, then we begin each day on mission, that we fully commit and we start our day not just doing what we've done every other day for the whole week, but we look at this day and say, Lord, I know that today you have the mission that you want me to accomplish. Point me in it. Direct me in it. Don't let me miss it today. And you live with meaning and purpose in your life. Everyone has that calling. Everyone is called to it. Secondly, we see in this passage also is that mission starts by following God. You say, well, I don't get this tape recorder saying specifically what to do. Well, either did Matthew. Because in this passage here, he's simply given in verse 9, follow me. That was his mission for that day. Follow me. You mean there's nothing that you want me to do? You just want me to have a relationship with you? You mean you just want me to do to watch you? To get to know you? To go where you go? Maybe to do what you do? But do you just want a relationship with me? Yeah, that's where I would start when I talk about mission. You say, well, I don't know what to do today. Well, why don't you start by reading the Bible? Why don't you start by praying? Why don't you start by following Jesus? Building that relationship with him, getting to know him, to see what he desires in your life. He's really saying to Matthew here, it's not so much what you do, it's who you are. Are you going to be a follower of me? Are you going to get to know me? Are you willing to work in that situation? 90% of Israel in Matthew's day lived in poverty. 90% of Israelites lived in poverty. Tax collectors were not in that group. So if you're talking about Matthew, you're talking about a person that is in the top 10% of income in his nationality. But he's despised. He's rejected. Nobody likes him. But when it comes to income, he's set for life. He can look forward to that retirement and that vacation at the end of his life. And it's really not a hard job. You just sit there and say, give me more. And that was his whole mission in life. And really, as far as security and so forth, he had what many would have valued in this world. And Jesus says, follow me. Well, before I do, are you like for today? You just want me to follow you today? I can probably get a day off. Or where do you want me to follow you? You mean you want me to leave my job? You want me to leave where I live? You want this to be a permanent thing where I just commit myself to you, where I'm all in? You don't see him even asking those questions. It had to have gone through his mind, but you just see him get up and begin to follow the Lord. He was willing to go. Why? If somebody come up to me and said, Glenn, follow me, quit your job, follow me, I would want to know a little bit about that guy first of all, wouldn't you? And then I'd have a million other questions before I did. What's interesting in this passage is the passage begins, as he was going from there, talking about Jesus, he came to where Matthew was. Now, you've got to remember that who wrote the book of Matthew? The tax collector. So if he wrote, as he was going from there, Matthew knew where he was coming from. So when Dave was reading about that man that was paralyzed that they brought to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, or Jesus says to him, do you want your sins forgiven? Your sins are forgiven. And Matthew's watching this. He wrote about it. He's watching this and thinking, sins? Boy, do I have a bunch. I'm despised. They think I'm worse than sinners in my world. And who is this guy that thinks he can just forgive sins of other individuals? And he may have smirked a little at that. I don't know. But he may have. And Jesus seems to sense that, at least if not from Matthew, from the Pharisees. And he says, if you think that's hard, take up your bed and walk. And he does. And that had to make him think, well, who does he think he is that can heal people? Maybe he is God. Maybe he does have the right to forgive sins. Maybe this is someone I would be willing to follow. And so maybe there's a lot going on here that we don't have or we don't really understand, but it seems as though he was saying, if you want me to have a relationship with the one who forgives sins, I'm all in. I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to follow you. Another thing we see in this passage is that mission begins where you are now. Follow me. Where are we going, Jesus? I'm going to your house. Give me your coordinates. I'll punch it into my GPS here, and we'll head there today. To my house? Didn't know you were coming. May not be clean. I don't know. He just goes. Why did Jesus choose to take Matthew to his home? You know, sometimes when we think that God calls us, that he's going to call us to Africa or to some other part of the world that we don't want to go, often his calling is to use exactly where you're at now for his glory and his honor. So he calls Matthew back home. He says, invite your friends in. Invite other sinners and tax collectors in. And you know who else comes? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. You say, well, why would they come? Well, they're following Jesus, not for the right reason. But they came also. Do you think Matthew would have said, you shouldn't come into my house. You stay out, Pharisees. And do you know the Pharisees were the high class of that day? They were the ones everybody wanted to associate. That'd be like saying to the president, don't come in here, my house. You know, that would be like saying to whoever the social person of your area is, don't come in here. But that's the group that everybody wanted to be associated with. And so they come in too. And Matthew's thinking, whoa, I've never had these high-class people in my home before. But this wasn't like every other time that Matthew had had friends over, was it? But Matthew cooks, or he has his servants cook, or whoever cooks, and he does the things he always did, maybe the day before, the week before, but this time it was a little different, wasn't it? This time, even though he was doing the same thing he did Monday, Tuesday, or maybe last Friday when he had the friends over, this time it seemed a little different because maybe this time he was more on mission and he had a purpose in what he was doing it for. And God began to work in Matthew's life. In verse 10 it says, and while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, verse 10, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Many came, many ate, and their lives were about to change because Matthew now had a purpose. He was doing the same things he had done before, but for different reasons. Jesus was now there. Jesus had told him. He took all of his resources, and he says, Lord, these are at your disposal. If you want my house, if you want to use my food, if you want to have me invite my friends, that's fine. I'm willing to use whatever resources I have for your mission. And Lord, you know, my relationships, you know, that's part of it as well. My relationships with my friends, but even my relationship now with you has changed. And I'm willing to do, and you know those relationships that I saw, I wanted the approval of the Pharisees, and I wanted the approval of the scribes, but they considered me worse than a sinner, and all these things I want, you know, those don't even matter to me anymore. Now I want your approval. I want a relationship with you. I want to be able to follow you and accomplish whatever you desire in my life. The last thing that we see here, and probably the focus that I want to get to, is that God has called all of us to the mission of helping the sick. See what happens here in verse 12. It says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy, on hearing this, the part that I skipped here, the Pharisees are saying, why does he, Jesus, the teacher, eat with tax collectors and sinners? In verse 11, in Galatians, Jesus said, I came not to help the healthy people, but to help those that were hurting, to help those that were sick. So in Matthew 12, he says, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. You see, our mission is to be doctors? Well, no. I'm not talking about just physical help, but physical help might be part of the mission. Jesus went about doing good, but it's really talking about those that were spiritually sick. The mission is to help those who are sick through the one who can forgive sins, through the one who was willing to die for them. The mission is to focus on those individuals that need the Lord. This series, this 6-week series about Made for Mission, has a purpose, another purpose in mind, is that we want to start a program called One Focus. And the focus is to find that person that God has called you to on mission to bring the gospel to, and to focus on that person. Who is the one that the Lord has for you? So if you get nothing else out of the sermon today, God has called you for a purpose. The purpose is to fulfill the mission, and the mission is to bring others the forgiveness that God brought to Matthew, to bring others the forgiveness that he brings for those sinners and tax collectors when he died on the cross of Calvary. Who is the one that God has called you to be on mission for? I'm going to conclude with a video. It is a little graphic. It's dark. If you don't want to watch it, you don't need to watch it. Close your eyes and listen to the words. It's a little clip from a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. I have not watched the movie. So if there's more in this movie that is bad, I didn't see it. I just got the clip. From what I understand about it, it's based on a true story of a conscientious objector who didn't want to carry a gun and kill anyone, so they sent him as a medic. And he didn't carry a gun. But he was willing to serve his country and to serve others. This is after a major battle on Hacksaw Ridge, I guess. And so I just want to watch the video, but listen to his prayer during the video. I think you get the idea, don't you? God has called us to get one more. And you say, well, only one? Just one more. And then one more, and one more. That is our mission. That will give you meaning in life. That will give you purpose in life. Let's pray. Father, we know that we have a mission that comes from you, a mission that you set the example for when you came to die for us. And I just pray that you would help us as believers in Christ to understand that we truly are made for a mission, and the mission is to bring others the gospel, to proclaim your death till you come. Help us to be faithful in doing that. Help us to find one this week that we might bring to you. Help us to live our life this week on mission. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.